Okay. Looks like we're on. Yeah? That's good. We'll take it. Okay. It seems... Yeah, so we normally do Parsha at this time, but there is no Parsha this week. I actually came across a tshuva in the Betzel HaChachmar of Betzel Stern, where he discusses what if this week, when you take out, what if this Shabbos, when you take out the Torah, for some reason you're unable to lane from the Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah. Would you then lane the Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos? What would be such a metzias? I don't know. There's a mistake in that sefer, because Allah is, if there's a mistake in one sefer, it could still be from another sefer of the Chumash, technically probably without a bracha, but you'd still do a kriya, something like that. Yeah, I guess you would add that to the list of nafkaminas for a Rosenzweig's chakira, hyphenated kedusha or hybrid kedusha, when Hashanah falls out of Shabbos. Okay, anyway, but there is no parsha, so we're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah a little bit. I remember last year, around this time, I spent a Shabbos here in Yeshiva, and there was, one thing that's always been true about our Yeshiva is that there's always something big to hawk about, meaning there's always something that's going to spell the end of Yeshiva University, and that is going to, is going to split the entire community, and is going to be big trouble. And always, it's always something else, of course, every year. And there's always Rav Shecht used to comment that there are guys that would come into yeshiva. They're here for 3 or 4 years, and they completely wreak havoc. They start fires all over the place, and he's here for 50 years. He's got to live with the repercussions of it all. But anyway, there was a particular hot button issue. Oh, the camera, Rebbe, is sideways. Oh, okay. Maybe if I just do this, there's got to be some setting, right? There's got to be a setting. It's disorienting, I know, to see someone sideways. There's a guy that comes in my daf yomi every morning sideways. let me back up a little bit here. So last year at this time, there was one of these existential crises for Yeshiva University, and I was here for a Shabbos, and we had a question and answer session on the panel. Is that better? Zoomers, are we good? Fantastic. Much better. Okay, so there was some sort of issue going on that seemed like a major issue, and we had a panel discussion, and it was supposed to be with me and Rabbi Penner, but Rav Goldberg Shlita was here, so we invited him onto the panel, and someone raised the question about this hot button major issue. I don't even remember what it was at this point. I do, but I'm not. But there was some major hot button issue, and it wasn't COVID. It was like the last big hop before COVID, and Rav Goldwicht, as he typically does when someone asks him a highly charged political question, he said, "Slicha, ani lo mevin anglit." that was his way out. And I was like, I'm new here, I don't know anything about this, and I just looked at Rabbi Penner, and it was nice. It was nice to be able to hide behind somebody else instead of answering a difficult question. But all that is a long way of saying, on Rosh Hashanah, we don't have that option. On Rosh Hashanah, one of the most celebrated lines in all of Mishnayos of Maseches Rosh Hashanah is how we discuss that Rosh Hashanah, that there are different things happen at different, there are different Rosh Hashanim and different Rosh Hashanahs, that where different things happen, different things are decided, but Rosh Hashanah, Necha B'Tishrei, Kol Bayi Olam Ovrin Lefanav Kivnei Maron, and the Gemara goes through three different explanations of what that means, that we pass in front of Hashem one by one, but it doesn't just say one by one, it says Kivnei Maron, and one of the explanations, there are a lot of beautiful Divrei Torah that go through what each of the three explanations adds to the picture. We're not going to get into that right now. One of the explanations is Kivnei Amarna, which means like sheep, that we pass in front of Hashem like sheep. But if you look at the Rishonim and that Gemara that says that we pass in front of Hashem like sheep, there's actually a Machlokesh Rishonim what kind of sheep we're talking about. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, Kibnei Hakvasim Ha'ovrim Al Yedei Mona. A shepherd is counting his sheep in the normal course of his job. He's got to count how many sheep are going out, how many sheep are coming in. He's got to make sure he's got them all. So like a shepherd who counts his sheep, the host would like you to unmute. Okay, I think that would be wise. Okay, so I don't know how we got muted there. But are we good now? Are we hearing me now? No one's responding.
Let's figure out where the camera thinks that
Now we can hear many of him. Oh no, many of me. What does that mean? Is the other Ayili word Zoom bombing us? What does that mean? It was echoing. It's better now. Okay, fine. Zoom, you gotta love it. So so like sheep, like a shepherd counts as sheep. That's the way Rabbeinu Chananel understands. Rashi, however, on the other hand, says, Kikvasim shemonin osam li asron v'yotzin ze achar ze b'pesach katon she'in yuchol notes ke'echad. Not a shepherd counting a sheep, but someone who's taking meiser behema counting his sheep, that he has to open up the door just a bit so each animal come out one by one and he count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then the 10th one he marks as holy for Meiser Behema. So to begin with, it's difficult to understand why I need a mushel to understand what Kibnei Marun means. Right? Kibnei Marun means one by one, just say that we're each judged individually on Rosh Hashanah, that there's no hiding behind Rabbi Penner, there's no hiding behind your friend to be able to avoid the difficult questions. But to then go into such detail about which counting of sheep we're talking about, I mean, why does that matter at all? Who cares whether you count sheep because you're a shepherd responsible for them, or because you're taking Meiser Behema, or because you're trying to fall asleep, or whatever. I don't care why you're counting sheep. What difference does it make if the whole point is that it's just one by one? So one of the new young Rosh Yeshiva of Keren Biavne, Rabbi Aaron Friedman, suggested an insight into Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, and he suggested that they're actually providing a great insight into the specific nature of how Hashem looks at us in Rosh Hashanah. Let's take one by one. First, there is Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says it's like a shepherd counts his sheep. Now, in reality, every shepherd has to count his sheep twice. He has to count them prospectively and retrospectively. Right before they go out, he's got to see who's coming out, and before they come back in, he's got to count them again. When the sheep are about to be brought out at the beginning of the day, he has to assess each of them. Are they physically well? Will they need some help to be brought out to pasture? Which will need a bit of a zetz to get moving? Which may be better off staying back entirely because he's not fit to go out today? And when the sheep are brought back in, the shepherd counts again. But that time, this time it's to make sure that none of the sheep are lost and that they're all returning to the pen as healthy as they possibly can be. So similarly, he suggests, says Rabbi Friedman, when Hashem counts us on Rosh Hashanah, he does so both retrospectively and prospectively. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks back at the end of the year and sees, how did we do? What kind of emotional condition are we in? What kind of religious condition are we in? What kind of physical condition are we in? What kinds of struggles did we have? Where were our successes? Are we reporting back in good health? Many of us, you know, have experienced great joy and success over the course of the year. People got married this year. Families have grown this year. People had nachas from their children this year. Some people had more nachas from their children this year than they ever had before because they never actually saw their kids learning before. But now in their home, they saw their kids in school, but at home. You know, some parents, they go to parent-teacher conferences and the teacher's like, oh, he's an angel, he's wonderful. And the parents are like, what? he's an absolute monster at home. So now those parents got to see their children being the angels that apparently they are for those 8-9 hours a day. So there are people that saw great, great nachas. There are people that have had success in Torah learning and there are other areas of ruchnius. And yet, many, unfortunately, are coming back a bit bruised, having lost relatives, having lost friends, having suffered illness, having had people close to them suffer illness, having suffered emotionally from all of the unrest, having slipped in our religious commitment, which, you know, is a natural consequence of not being able to go to shul for months at a time, which has become the religious focal point of our lives. So Hashem is looking retrospectively. How did we do? What kind of shape are we in? But he's also looking forward to see what we need in order to do well this year. Some of us may need a little extra encouragement. Others may need a little zetz, a little smack to get us going. And the common link, though, is that we all rely on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our best interest in mind. You know, the most probably the most famous chapter of Tehillim is one that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a shepherd. Mizmor David Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. I believe that we just had 9/11 last week. I believe that this was the chapter that Todd Beamer read together with the 911 operator before he stormed the cockpit together with the rest of the passengers on United 93. That at a time like that, that's the chapter you turn to. That we put our faith in God, Hashem Roi, Lo Echsar. And in the chapter we describe, Shiftecha Umishantecha, Hema Yenachamuni. That both the prod and the support stick are both a nechama. They both comfort me. And the Metzudas David on the spot says, Shiftecha Umishantecha, Masha Atemaka Osi, Beshevet Shel Yisurin, Vitachzor Vitismochosi, Heim Heim Hamenachamimosi. That we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role not only in the support and the chizik that he's given us, but also in the rod that he's had to smite us with, that he's had to hit us with. And we recognize and acknowledge that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided for us ultimately is for our benefit. And it's coming from his immense love and concern for each and every one of us, for all of Klal Yisrael. So that's Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, how do we go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the sheep goes in front of the shepherd? That the shepherd has to look retrospectively, prospectively, look at how last year was, look at how this coming year is going to be, and figure out what is best for us and what we need most. Rashi, on the other hand, says that no, the passing in front of Hashem like sheep is a reference to Maaser Behema. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnayos tell us, that there are two basic types, the Chumash tells us, there are two basic types of Kedusha of Behemos. There's Kedushas Bechor, and there's Maaser Behema. And in each case, there's one animal that's singled out among the rest and is elevated in its level of Kedusha. The idea of Bechor is that of dedicating beginnings, the first one goes to Hashem. And that signifies that Hashem really owns all of our possessions, that everything we have is only the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Maaser Behema is a little different. Maaser Behema is not the first. It's decidedly not the first. It only works if you count out 9 for yourself first, and then the 10th one is Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema is the Kedusha, and the special status of the Maaser could only come if the first 9 are counted properly. There's a sheep that is, and if you count it improperly, then everything is thrown out of whack. And there are mishnayos about this. Oh no, what if I counted 9 as 10, and then 10 as 9, and then 11 as 10? They're all kedushim, but they can't really all have full kedushim. So what exactly does that mean? Right? We have sugis and shas about this. Maaser Behema depends on the first 9 being the first 9. Only then does the 10th take on the proper role as Maaser Behema. And maybe what that symbolizes is that, yeah, there's a sheep that's elevated, but he can't do it by himself. The support system of the other sheep is a necessary prerequisite for the success of that one, for the success of the one that's elevated. And when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, we're being judged not only for our own successes, but how have we helped others succeed? How have we helped others shine? How have we been there for others? My chavrusa, Rabbi Rasner, I call him my chavrusa. We haven't learned together in years, but when you have a chavrusa like that, you just for life. He's my chavrusa. My chavrusa, Rabbi Rasner, mentioned that he has a friend who every year, and I'm choshesh I know who his friend is, that he's very good friends with himself. So, he just doesn't like to tell stories about himself. He said that he has a friend who every year on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he asks his wife, and she asks him in return, what they can do to make the other's life easier in the coming year. Give me a project to work on to make your life easier in the coming year. And they give each other one thing to work on. I don't know if you heard David Bashefkin's interview with Rav Kahn Shlita. Rav Kahn said that he tries to ask his wife Mechila every year and every Erev Rosh Hashanah, and she laughs at him. He said he's not sure what she's laughing at, but it is appropriate that if a person is married, the person that you interact with the most, that you have the most potential to hurt and to love and to help and to is one's spouse. So of course you have to ask Mechila, but more than ask Mechila for direction. What can I do to make your life easier? Because that's my avoda. I was just listening last night. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg and Rabbi Phil Moskowitz and Rabbi Josh Brody interviewed Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, on their weekly podcast. And they were talking about Hakaras HaTov, that people need to show their rabbis more Hakaras HaTov, whatever. And Kamenetsky, like, it's Ki'ilu, he didn't even understand the Inyan. He's like, what do you need Hakaras HaTov for? You work for the Ribbono Shel Olam, you work for the Tzibur, you work for Klal Yisrael. That's the greatest Tov that could be, that you're dedicating your life to help other people. You need a pat on the back? Like, what do you need it for? And I'll tell you, I worked for Rabbi Kamenetsky for 18 years. He is the best at giving encouragement, at giving the pat. So for other people, he's there to do it. But it's like, what do I need that for? Tell me how to be better. Tell me what I could do more to help other people. Someone told me, a board member of HALP, said that he complains every year. They do assessments of the staff, and at the end of the year, they give things that need improvement. And he complains every year that, give me more to improve on. You're not giving me enough direction. There must be more that I'm doing wrong. You need to give me more to improve on. That's the avoda. Part of the avoda is not to always be the 10th sheep, but to figure out how to be number 1 through 9 for somebody else. To let somebody else be the 10th sheep. We've discussed, for guys who were in Mashiach last year, at some point I'm sure it's come up, and we've discussed, you know, there are a lot of people that are going to be davening on Yom Naran for very big things. But we don't realize, or maybe we don't realize enough, that very often the answer to their tefillah, of course, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But very often we are the vehicle through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers their tefillah. We can actually be the answer to their tefillah. It might be a few feet away from them. Someone's davening for a shidduch for their daughter, and you happen to know Chevra, because you're in YU Smicha, so you know guys. And you just, I don't get involved in that. I don't get involved in shidduchim. I always say that. I always say, I don't get involved in shidduchim. That's a cop-out. It's a total cop-out. You could do a chesed for somebody, you do a chesed for somebody. Remember, Noach Dir, Zichrono Livracha, passed away this year from COVID. My last meaningful conversation with him, I was driving somewhere to meet a politician, totally out of my comfort zone. I don't like politicians. I don't know how to talk to them. I don't know the sprach. I don't know. Certainly not words like sprach. Like I don't know. You know, it's not my world. And I told him, I was like, this is like weird for me. He's like, every time a rabbi tells me that they're not interested in politics, he said, politics is how you help Yidden. That's what you got to do. You got to help Yidden. And if that means that you got to get involved in politics, then get involved in politics. If it means that you have to say, your goal is to help Yidden. That's the way he saw things. It was such a powerful, powerful lesson. To be sheep, number 1 through 9, for somebody else. You know, and one of the positive elements of social media, and there are many, many negative elements, and if you could avoid it entirely, it's better. But one of the positive elements of social media is that many of the social media sites prompt you to write like a short profile of yourself, like 5 or 6 words to describe yourself. And it's fascinating. Like someone would write something like, real estate investor, Mets fan, gun enthusiast. Okay, like that's how they define themselves. Like real estate investor number 1, Mets fan number 2, gun enthusiast number 3. I don't know, are you a brother, a son, a father? Like are you anything else? No, but that's, you know, and others might write husband, father, Eved Hashem, or something like that. If you take a moment to think about what your profile is, what the 5 or 6 words that define you are, it should be on some level that which you can do to help other become that, to help others become that, Meiser Behema. I was listening this morning, there's a fellow in my shul, Gavri Butler, who's a spectacular person, and his brother, Mikey Butler, graduated from YU, but it was an unbelievable story. His father, Judge Dan Butler, just wrote an article about the story when Rabbi Lam flew to Pittsburgh to give Mikey, Zichrono Livracha, his diploma. Because Mikey was very, very ill his entire life, and Rabbi Lam went out of his way. Rabbi Lam Zichron Bracha, we also lost this year. What a year! Flew to Pittsburgh to give Mikey his diploma, and I totally forgot where I was going with this. Something from Gavri. Rabbi Lam was this. There's on YU Torah, you can find Rabbi Lam's hesped for Mikey Butler. It was like, I think the year was like 2004 maybe. So they were trying to set up a live feed in Lamport Auditorium to the funeral in Pittsburgh, but there was no Zoom. And even with Zoom, you see all the it's echoing, it's better now, I can't hear Rebbe, I hear many of Rebbe, right? So can you imagine, in 2004, without Zoom, you know, when they're trying to set this up, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't working so well. So they just held the whole Levaya here without, you know, independent. And Rabbi Lam gave a hesped, and it wasn't Zoomed or anything, there was no live feed. And one of the things Rabbi Lam said about Mikey was that he's so other-oriented. What does other-oriented mean? Meaning, a person's not supposed to be selfless. Certainly, a person's not supposed to be selfish. But a person, being selfless means you have no sense of self, and that's not good. You don't want to be a person that has no sense of self whatsoever. But to be other-oriented, to be focused on how to help others. What have we done to enable the miser to achieve its elevated status? Have we made decisions based on what's most convenient for us, what's most easy, what's most self-indulgent, or have we taken our roles as supporters of others seriously? So when we pass in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Rosh Hashanah, it turns out Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel might be saying something very deep, that yes, it's like sheep, like the Gemara says, but we have to Aleph, keep in mind how Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking stock with a loving eye of how we did this past year and what we need to succeed in this coming year, but also looking for how we did as a sheep, as a support and a helper for all of those who rely on us. Okay.